It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm Tracy Peterson, your host. Our topics this morning are happening across the country and right here in the Motherlode. They are human trafficking and stalking. To find out what is happening in Tuolumne County, we have assembled a panel of guests that deal with these crimes. Tuolumne County District Attorney Cassandra Jenicky, Deputy DA Stephanie Novelli, and Pamela Orbaugh, Community Services Coordinator at Center for a Nonviolent Community. It's good to have you all here. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Good morning.
Thank you.
And let's dive right in. First off, can we give the listener a definition of both crimes? Stephanie?
Yes. The penal code section for human trafficking is section 236.1. There's an A section that focuses on forced labor. It is the deprivation of liberty of another person for the purpose of forced labor. And then there's a B section, which is the deprivation of liberty of another person for the purpose of committing a sex act, sex crime, or pornography or anything of that nature. Stalking is defined in Penal Code Section 646.9 as the harassment of another individual where there is a threat involved. That threat can be implied through a course of conduct, or it can be an actual verbal threat or a text message or anything like that that causes that individual to fear from that person who has made that threat and that continuing harassing behavior.
All right, and these two topics are different, yet they can be intertwined, right, Pam?
I want to really quickly add to what Stephanie said. So the legal definition of stalking and human trafficking are somewhat different from the way we operate to provide services for folks. So essentially, in order to receive services, you don't actually have to go through law enforcement, report a crime, file anything like that. And we simply define it as behavior that would cause a reasonable person to feel fear. Is for stalking, and trafficking is exploitation of labor or sex for profit. And how they're intertwined is essentially technology, I think, would be the key point where these two crimes and behaviors intersect. Is stalking victims are often reached out via technology, having their communications monitored, or being contacted without wanting to be contacted by the other party. And with trafficking, it can often also be initiated online, very slyly, subtly. You know, we use the term sliding into the DMs and gaining favor, gaining interest. Will you meet up? And then someone could be coerced into sex work or labor from initiating that online relationship.
Now, I saw a statistic from the organization Enough is Enough that stated that every 30 seconds, a child or a teen is sold in the commercial sex industry in the United States. And more than 50% of the sex trafficking involves individuals that are under 18. That's shocking. Cassandra?
I would agree with you, Tracy, that is probably shocking for folks who don't operate in the realm that myself and my co-panelists do. We know that predators are out there seeking to exploit other people, right? Another way that sex trafficking, labor trafficking, human trafficking, and stalking intertwine is that they're both crimes that utilize power and control over another individual. And so, yes, it may be shocking to your listeners, but for those of us who work in the industries that we do, it's an unfortunate reality of what we do.
Wow. And the report also stated that more than 90% of trafficked youth still attend school regularly at the start of the exploitation.
Right, Tracy. So when you look at how when technology is utilized to target youth, it's not something where somebody goes up to a youth and says, okay, now I'm going to sexually exploit you. It is about gaining that relationship, exploiting that relationship, making that individual comfortable with the offender. And so when you have youth, when they're not in school, someone's going to notice and someone's going to report that they're not in school. That's why SAR boards or the school attendance review boards are so important, because when a child is not in school, SAR board and other schools themselves can use screen training tools to identify CSEC youth. And CSEC youth is commercial sexually exploited children, or kids that are in danger of being CSEC youth. And so if they're not in school, there's more likelihood that there's going to be someone who notices and who can get that child resources to make sure that they don't go on to being exploited.
And I wanted to take that one step further, too, because when do they usually drop out? Is that something that parents should notice, too?
Yeah, Cassandra? Tracy, great question. And so, you know, I think that we'll talk a lot later, I think, about what tools parents can utilize to try to prevent their children from becoming victims of these types of crimes. But changes in attitude, changes in behavior, changes in their willingness to participate at school, a desire to go to school, or even an inclination to start ditching can all be indications that something's not right with your child. And so one of the things that parents can do is reach out to school officials, reach out to their child, and really seek the resources that Pam will talk about a little bit later to try and avoid exploitation.
And sticking with you, Cassandra, I also wanted to get a little bit more in depth with online, because that seems to be, for both the traffickers and the stalkers, a tool that they definitely use, and especially with the kids.
Absolutely. You know, our youth are incredibly intelligent individuals, and our technology plays on that intelligence. And oftentimes, we have seen technological tools develop that are purposed with avoiding detection, right? Snapchat is a great example of a specifically developed app that is built to eliminate a trace on what a child has been viewing or looking at. And so online tools, social media, all of that plays a huge part in people being able to access our children in a way that maybe their parents don't understand.
Speaking to this too, Pam, also the report I saw said that technology impacts stalking crimes with 48% of teens ages 12 to 18 with dating experiences that were stalked online.
Yeah, so technology has become integrated so much with how we live our lives that so much of dating relationships occur in an online space. This is how youth might be meeting each other, how relationships are mitigated. And admittedly, sexual activity through an online space, you know, sexting is actually, we try to talk about it as, instead of just being an online behavior, as a sexual activity, so they can realize the real world implications of online behaviors. And it's true, so much of, especially as you can see during COVID, we had to pivot to having so much of our school and life experiences in online or digital platforms, that they're living so much of their life online. They are really vulnerable to having their behaviors paid attention to by unhealthy folks, having their behaviors tracked and used against them. So because so much of their time and kind of life is occurring online, that's absolutely a place that they're going to be vulnerable to being watched, stalked, preyed on, even by someone, you know, who's a former dating partner, a youth. It's people who harm aren't all adults preying on youth. It's youth who don't understand healthy boundaries and healthy relationships harming each other as they navigate these relationships in these new digital spaces that maybe adults aren't ready or even aware are a conversation that need to happen.
What are we seeing here in Tuolumne County, Sandra?
Well, you know, Tracy, I think the best example that we have is the Pacheco case that our office prosecuted earlier in 2021. In that case, we had probably upwards of almost 100 minors with whom Mr. Pacheco had been engaging in conversation, drug dealing, illicit sexual relationships online, in person, in an effort to, you know, provide our youth with marijuana edibles and things of that nature that he was actually trafficking in from out of county. And so when we look at that case as a hallmark, that case takes us to the question of sexual trafficking. It takes us to the question of stalking. It takes us to sometimes even labor trafficking, because some of those youth were utilized to try to transport drugs to other youth. And so we can look at that case and say it's a one-off, but I'll be honest with you, Tracy, I don't think that it is.
We have been speaking about two topics this morning that are happening across the country and right here in the Motherlode. They are human trafficking and stalking, and we will be back with our panel of guests for our next segment. But first, we want to hear from our sponsor, Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. We'll be right back.